God's Will for Your Life. That's what we're studying this quarter in Radio School of the Bible. Welcome to our program today. My name is Greg Wheatley, and our instructor for this quarter, Dr. Bill Thrasher, Professor of Bible and Theology at the Graduate School of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Well, if you've ever struggled with what is God's will for me, I think this quarter on Radio School of the Bible is just for you. And you already know that if you've been with us. And if you're just joining us, we're only a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks or so into this series. We've been reviewing the symptoms, ways that we can know we may have a faulty view of God. And this is so important, isn't it, Dr. Thrasher?
Yes. In fact, we've said that one can be encouraged if even they're aware of God working in their life and beginning to uproot some ideas of Him that are not biblical and also can have a very crippling effect upon our life. We've mentioned a few symptoms of a wrong view of God, one being when we give God only a sense of external service. In the words of Jesus, when we honor Him with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. Another is when we sense that His commandments are burdensome. Jesus wants to liberate us from a burdensome, the idea of knowing His liberating yoke upon our life, which speaks of His control, taking His control seriously, which He says His yoke is easy to wear, His load is light. Thirdly, we said, when we consider the opinions of man more important than the opinions of God. In the words of Paul, he said, if I were still striving as my uttermost goal to please man, I would no longer be a bondservant of Christ. We said that when we desert God, when our expectations aren't met, and also when we trust ourselves more than God. Now, one other symptom that I'd like to look at is when we fail to realize the truth of James 1:17. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. You see, every good and perfect gift comes from above. See, God is the ultimate source of everything. You say, you know, there's something that I hang on to and it's hard to let go of. At its best, that's only what? A gift of God. A thing that's been helpful for me for many years, and that is to keep a diary. And not that I spend a lengthy amount of time at the end of each day in regard to that, but at the end of each day, I do just write down in a very shorthand way sort of a summary of that day. And I think it of James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Well, you know, let me say this, that God wants to reveal Himself to you. And what we want to look at next are certain truths that God has revealed about Himself to you. And what I want you to see is that as you respond to these truths, it will lead you into the will of God. The first such truth is that God is a person. God is a person. I remember there was a pastor in Dallas, Texas, and he told this story. He said that if Jesus were living today and he came to a group of modern theologians and philosophers the same way he did to his disciples and said, who do men say that I am? This is the response that he might get. They may say, thou art the ground of being. Thou art the leap of faith into the imperishable unknown. Thou art the existential, unphrasable, unverbalized, unpropositional constantation with the infinitude of inherent subjective experience. And he said Jesus would say, huh? You know, sometimes our God can be very impersonal. We maybe can know words that maybe even be truer than these words, but what? God is very impersonal. See, the supreme revelation of God was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is represented in Scriptures as one who speaks and sees and hears and delights and sorrows. He's a person. See, God's will is when we respond to this truth and we build a personal relationship with Him. Scripture says that through Jesus and His work on the cross and by trusting in Jesus, we can have peace with God. We can stand in the favor of God. And in the words of Jesus, we can even become His friend. So that any irreverence to God, we only are echoing the words of Scripture, that we can become the friend of God. And that's what Jesus told His disciples, no longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friends. And then He talked about the responsibility of being a friend of God is to the responsibility of being obedience. But He also talked about the privileges of being a friend of God, and that is that God will show us all that we need to know. I'm thinking of verses 14 and 15 of John 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you, our responsibility being to obey Him. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For the things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. God will show you today all that you need to know in regard to His will. Now, maybe you're like me. You've always wanted to know more than your daily bread in regard to God's will. I've yearned the sense that God would just give me a roadmap for my life. But, you know, God hasn't done that because His greater concern was to me, what? For Him to unfold His will and for me to develop a relationship with Him. You see, God wants me to see that He's great. He knows everything. But, you know, He also wants me to know that He's personal. He knows me. He wants me to know that He's sovereign over all the world. But He wants me to also know that He's working intimately in my circumstances, in my activities. He wants me to know that He loves the world, as He wants you to know that. But He also wants you to know today that He loves you. You see, what happens when you take God in personally? I'll tell you what happens. It's what the Apostle Paul was burdened about when he wrote to the Galatian Christians. He said, you know, I've labored over you, but my concern is that what? You've boiled the Christian life down to traditions and rituals. That's what happens when we take God impersonally. It may be that we have what? We're on automatic pilot, and we still, our life looks about the same. But ultimately what? It will degenerate into what? Just a sense of tradition. Just a sense of ritual. And we lose that dynamic that started out from delighting in the Lord. Most movements of God start out by what? The leader who's found a delight in the Lord, and God has shown him, and God's given direction. And then sometimes people will join that movement, and they run on the tracks that God has given, but they forget what? The God who's given them those tracks to run on. And then pretty soon, they end up going in the wrong direction. Look, you see, God wants to relate to us, not in some impersonal way. He's not some impersonal force, but what? He's a person.
Maybe I could stop you there, Dr. Thrasher, and ask what is a practical question, and that's for the person who finds that they're saying, you know, you're describing me today. I've been a Christian for maybe 5, maybe 35 years, and, you know, that autopilot thing, that's me. Where do we get off of that merry-go-round, and how do we start delighting in God again?
Well, you know, the good news is this, is that it's not totally up to us. In fact, at one moment, I may be walking with God. In the very next breath, I can be away from Him. Hmm. I mean, that hymn is true, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. But you see, that's why God has given us the help of His Holy Spirit. It says that He sent the Holy Spirit into our life. In fact, He tells us that one responsibility of the Spirit is to lead us. And we read here in Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:14. And there, Romans 8:14, it follows by what does the Spirit of God wants to lead us into? And we see that it says, you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. See, it's the Holy Spirit. I need, oh yes, the only thing I know how to do is to get myself in bondage. Hmm. But the Holy Spirit, as we open ourselves up to His control, and maybe that's the point God wants to bring us to, saying, Lord, I don't know how to live this Christian life. I can't live this Christian life. And that's the point God wants to bring us to. As one person said, God says, I never said you could live the Christian life. I always said I would. As we open ourselves up to His control, He will lead us into what? Liberty. He will lead us into facing our unhealthy fears. He will lead us into this intimacy with God by which we use the expression here in Scripture where we cry out, Abba, Father. So the good news is that God wants to bring us to the point that we aren't adequate. God wants to bring us to the point that we can cry out with the psalmist, You art my God. You art my God. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul where he said, the life I now live in this flesh, my earthly body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, who loved me. Because, see, God had brought that truth personally to His heart. You know, you can trust God to know Him. You know, there's a prayer that I've given out, and there's nothing magic about these words, but I'm going to just give it to you because everything in it is something that you can trust God for. I've given this to hundreds of people. And it's nothing, like I say, nothing magic about the words. You don't necessarily have to worry about getting down every word. But here's the idea, because I want you to see that everything is appropriate to trust God for. This is the prayer that I've given, and I would encourage you to pray as well as myself to pray it again. God, I want to know You above all else in life. It is the greatest prize in the pursuit of the will of God. But you can tell God, I need the motivation. I need the encouragement. And I need the wisdom to know how. All of those things you can trust God for. The daily motivation, the daily encouragement, the daily wisdom to know how to go about it. And you can say, God, I desire it, but I want to desire it more. Mm-hmm. You even trust the Lord to intensify that desire. Mm-hmm. Because we know how sidetracked we can get. I can want it, and then what? Other sidetracks come into my life in regard to other interests, and it begins to choke it. But that's why I also say in this prayer, Lord, I believe you to overcome all obstacles and to accomplish this in my life. There are obstacles, but that's even how you'll get to know God, as you trust him, what? To overcome those obstacles. And you can say, Lord, it's for your name's sake, because, see, God would be glorified in answering this prayer and for my eternal benefit.
Hmm. Those are great words. Very encouraging.
Well, thank you. We certainly have a great God who desires to give us even more than we even know how to ask him. But I know the greatest thing we can ask him is to bless us with an intimate relationship with him. He will give us the motivation, the encouragement, the wisdom to know how. He can intensify that desire that he's obviously already put in your heart if you're listening today. And he knows all the obstacles between you and that, and you can believe him to overcome those obstacles.
Thanks, Dr. Thrasher. Another very helpful, very encouraging session here in Radio School of the Bible. And it may be that prayer really struck a chord in your heart. So I'll encourage you to pray that, as Dr. Thrasher said, not necessarily verbatim by those words, but certainly if that's the cry of your heart, God is pleased to answer that. We can be sure of it. Thanks for joining us again today on Radio School of the Bible. I hope to see you next time right here.